You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Well, hello there. Glad you've decided to join us for another episode of Hard Drive DL. My name's Paulie Walnuts, and for this one, we're going to talk with Jen Ledger. You know her as the drummer from Skillet, but she also just recently put out a solo EP. I'm going to talk with her about creating that and writing it and all the work and how long it's been in the making. Check it out. First of all, you know, congratulations on the EP release. It's amazing. I've spent a lot of time with it over the past few days getting ready for this. How long were you, you know, thinking about this and working on a solo work?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much. That's really kind. It's pretty cool to be talking to you here today about it because it has actually been in the works for about 6 years. For anyone that doesn't know, I'm the drummer for the band Skillet. I've been drumming with them for 10 years. And it was about 6 years ago when I was really noticing the power of music. I'm traveling all over the world with Skillet at this point, and we were just meeting people in every country that were sharing stories about, you know, just like life-changing stories, whether it was, hey, I was addicted to drugs and I heard your song and listening to your music has helped me stay clean, or whether it's some people are actually saying, hey, I heard your song and it saved my life. I was going to kill myself that night and this song came on the radio just that moment. It stopped me. And I was just seeing the power of music, how it breaks barriers, even like language barriers don't seem to stop it from changing people's lives. And so I was just noticing not only that, but like the influence I had as a drummer, as a young woman in music. You know, there's so many people with loud voices right now in the media, and a lot of them are like maybe reality stars with like dysfunctional relationships, and these are the people that our younger generation are looking up to follow. And so I just thought, you know what, I've got a platform, I've got people that I'm influencing, I want to do this well, I want to be someone that speaks and uses this platform and is more vocal about it. But I want to use it to like share like stuff that's empowering and hopeful and that will lift you up rather than tear you down. And so I asked the Coopers, hey, would you mind teaching me how to write? I'd like to pursue songwriting more. And they really took me under their wing. And I've been working basically towards this project for 6 years now. It took a long time to get here. We really wanted to make sure it wasn't just like Skillet Part B, but something that really reflected me as a musician, and we took the time to get that right, and now here I am talking to you. So it's pretty surreal and exciting, and I honestly feel really honored to just have the opportunity.
That's awesome. You know, you as part of Skillet, you said you're the drummer, but you're also singing too while you're drumming. Was it difficult for you to kind of step out from behind the kit and all of a sudden just be in front of everybody?
Oh yeah, I as you said, like I didn't actually know I was going to be singing with Skillet when I took the job. I honestly think that's a good thing because if I'd have had a clue what Skillet was, I would have ran away afraid for my life. Like my first ever tour with Skillet was a sold out arena called Winter Jam, and I'd gone from playing for 200 people at church and wanting to die because I was so nervous. All of a sudden, I'm playing with pyro in an arena, and it was such a shock to the system. And it was about like 8 or 9 months into Skillet that they had me sing on the Hero demo. And it actually wasn't like I was meant to be singing. It's just that Corey was unavailable that day, so I filled in. And my voice ended up sounding pretty good on it. I hadn't really pursued singing at all before. And then I sort of gradually stepped into that role, and I think it's good that I didn't know that in a few years I'd be singing, drumming, spinning on a drum riser with fire either side of me. I think I wouldn't have been able to handle that had I known, and I've kind of grown into that role. And I think I thought stepping into Ledger would be, you know, I've got 10 years of road experience, I should be okay. But I'm not going to lie, that first show I did with Ledger where I stepped out front and there was no John Cooper carrying the awkward silences between the songs, my knees were shaking, and all of a sudden I'm like, have I made the biggest mistake of my life? I just felt so vulnerable, and I think the fact that these songs have been like from the depths of my heart over the last 6 years and the journey that I've been on, it was like a whole new level of vulnerability, and not having the drums to like jump back on in between, Yeah, it was actually more intimidating than I thought. But as the tour went on, I kind of like found my footing, learned to like actually talk to the crowd in between the songs, like figuring out those things that I've never had to do as the drummer, and kind of learning how to be a front person and make the crowd feel like they're having the greatest time and that I'm comfortable and you're comfortable and let's have a good time together. It just took me a few shows to get over the nerves a little, and then I started figuring it out.
Good. Yeah, I mean, John does have a remarkable talent to just connect with people standing up on the stage. So if there's anyone you're going to learn to do it from, he's the guy to do it.
Amen. I'm like, it's stepping out without, like, he's just, like, honestly one of the greatest front men in the world. I've seen so many bands play, and he's just, you know, he's crazy talented, crazy great songs. But he's hilarious, too. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't know how good I had it back there. He's got that crowd eating out the palm of his hand, you know. And so it's great to be able to learn from him and kind of take notes from him. He's been awesome helping me start doing all of this.
So you mentioned before about, you know, writing with John and Corey and kind of trying to make it so it's not, you know, Skillet side B. How do you go about the process when you're writing songs to make it your own when you're basically, you know, you're three quarters of the band all together right there? So how do you kind of go in that different direction without knowing, oh, this is a Skillet song or this is a Ledger song?
Yeah, you know what? It a lot of it is self-confidence and having really thick skin. Writing with people can be really awesome or really hard. Like, basically, you're kind of throwing out ideas and you don't know if they're stupid or if they're good. So it's a horrible feeling when you're like, is this a cool hook or are you going to laugh at me? You never know. And there's always a fine line between something really awesome and something really stupid. So I think that through the 6 years of writing, I wrote with all, like, a lot of different people. Some it went great with, some I found it really difficult. I have learned to have thicker skin. But what I really needed to learn was to say when I didn't like something. And obviously, if you're working with people that are way more experienced than you and have a lot more, like, success, and you're the one that's new in the room, you're the one learning, there's kind of a balance to being, you know, humble and teachable, then also saying, hey, no, I actually just, this doesn't represent me, and this has turned into something that I wouldn't write, or I wouldn't, this isn't my influence, you know. And so I had to be good about communicating those things when I could. But kind of the beauty of working with John and Corey is that they know me so well. They know my influences. They know the bands that I grew up listening to. They're like, you couldn't really get people that know me better in the States. So the fact that I was not only writing with them, but Corey Cooper co-produced my album with me, it kind of felt like a dream come true because, you know, I'm not great at explaining what I want or what I hear sometimes. But because she knows me so well, she knows, oh, this is what you mean. And then we were able to create sounds and create a project that kind of felt like it was really representative of me. But, yeah, it isn't usual. You're right. It's three quarters of the band in a room writing some of the songs. So, of course, there is going to be some Skillet influence there. And, I mean, I've been touring with Skillet for 10 years, so there's definitely going to be some similarities. But I do feel like we really did a good job kind of differentiating it all at the same time, too.
I agree. And one of the nice things about, you know, this project is, you know, sometimes when people kind of spin out on their own, they really go in a different direction and, you know, audiences or fans of the band that they're in may not react as well. But it seems like you already have like a pretty sizable built-in fan base because the Skillet fans really seem to just be really receptive to the Ledger EP. So yeah. I think that's got to feel really good for you.
Honestly, I was super nervous about that. It's great to hear you say it because it was one of the things I was, like, super conscious about. I'm like, we have the most passionate and incredible fans in the whole world. Like, you put the panheads in any of those fan army contests, mm-hmm. and they just slay. They're so
absolutely.
Passionate and so
Every
dedicated.
Time.
I'm sure you've seen it, you know? And so I really, really wanted to make sure that they liked what I did. I'm like, they've given me a career. They've just embraced me, even replacing the old Skillet drummer, and I wanted to honor them in a way, and I wanted to create something that they would still love. And I knew that my influences were a little bit poppier than Skillet. Like, I grew up listening to like the Beatles and Queen, and it wasn't until I was a teenager that I really started listening to heavier rock, and so I kind of just wanted to be edgy and rock, but still kind of, you know, almost like interject some of my lighter poppier influences also, because it feels like that's really true to who I am. And I was nervous that the Skillet fan base would be like, this is too light, you know, or it's not heavy enough for me anymore. But I feel like they actually really embraced it. And I think because the fan base knows me so well and we really tried to make it feel like me, it's kind of ended up being a win-win, because they're just incredible fans, to be honest. And I love that they've, it feels so much so like they've embraced me to a whole nother level by embracing this EP too.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I do want to talk a little bit about the single, Not Dead Yet. We're spinning it right now. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what went into to writing that song and creating it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Not Dead Yet is honestly like, it's from the depths of my soul. It's one of my closest, and my heart really goes out in that song. I actually wrote that because on and off in my life, I've struggled a lot with feeling afraid. The reason I didn't want to try out for Skillet, and I actually said no at first, was because I'd quit the drums, become kind of like very insecure, hated being in front of people. And I just really felt like I was supposed to try out in the end, even though everything in my natural instincts wanted me to run away. And it's been something I've kind of struggled with on and off in my life, but there was a few years ago where I went through a really intense season of all of a sudden struggling with panic attacks and anxiety in a way that I've never felt before. It was really sucky. It was pretty intense. It was pretty dark. And after like wrestling my way through something so intense, I thought, oh, surely that's gone now. I've won. I've been through the worst of it, and now it's gone forever. So like last year, I was on stage with Skillet, and I felt like those panic feelings start creeping back into my heart. And I just came off stage and I felt so defeated. I cried to Corey. I was like, I can't believe after all these years, I'm still struggling with this. And after feeling like I had such a victory in it, I can't believe it's come back again. And what if this is something that never goes away for me? And Corey looked at me and she said, then you fight, Jen. You fight while there's breath in your lungs, and until the day that you die, you fight, and you do not let fear rob you of your own life. And so it was from that conversation that I decided to write Not Dead Yet, because truthfully, fear, anxiety, all that stuff, it makes you just want to stop before you ever even try. I was getting ready to the Jen Ledger EP was really taking shape, and it just made me feel like, I can't believe I ever tried to do this. It almost like stops you from ever beginning the things, because it kicks you while you're down. And I just kind of wanted to write a song about, you know what, maybe this is something that I have to battle for the rest of my life. And maybe this is something that comes back, but I'm not going to let it stop me and hold me back from taking opportunities that are in front of me. And I'm not going to let it disqualify me altogether. And it's just basically about that fight for your life. Like, I'm not dead yet. And even if I'm broken, even if I'm struggling, even if I'm not perfect, I'm still going to live this life to the full, even if these things do keep popping up their heads. So I think the one thing we can't let it do is defeat us and stop us from ever trying.
That's a really beautiful story, and thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad you're still fighting,
because it
seems, especially nowadays, you know, we've lost a lot of artists to depression recently, and
yeah,
it's been pretty brutal, so
yeah.
I'm glad you're still fighting.
Honestly, yeah, it's a little, like, embarrassing. It's not like I wanted to tell my story to everyone in the world, but in the end, I'm like, you know what? We're living in, like, the Instagram, social media comparison. Like, it's just a culture of people putting out fake lives and then everyone feeling like they're a step behind. And it's no wonder that there's like the largest percentage of diagnosed anxiety and depression right now. And I'm like, well, maybe why not just talk about it? You're singing about it anyway. Just tell the truth, tell people what's happened, and tell people to fight through it and not let it knock them down and take them out. Because I think we just need to be talking about this stuff. Even though, yeah, it can be a little embarrassing, it's also, hey, no one's alone in it. A lot of people are dealing with this, and I'm meeting a lot of people that I honestly didn't realize quite how many people struggle with this stuff. And in that way, I'm like, you know what? it's a little embarrassing, but I'm kind of honored to speak about it if it helps other people.
My guest is Jen Ledger. The EP is Ledger. It is out now. I think you got a couple more shows coming up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, for now. We've got a few tours in the works, but I don't know what we're doing just yet. We've got a few shows in September and then the end of the year. And hopefully we'll have some more news as far as touring in the next month or so.
Excellent. All right, Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to call me. This was an absolute treat.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome talking to you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.